Okay, well, look, the message has already been given on stage, right? The kids program was great. Just, I wish you could had a glimpse of what was going on this whole week. It's been a great week, not just with the kids camp, but our workshops as well. And so it's time now to acknowledge that body of work that's gone on. One more workshop to go, but I want you to give thanks to Pastor Rachel and Pastor Serena. Together, they put together these workshops and this kids camp. And so all of the other people that you know who you are that it took to put all this on, all the work. Could you give yourselves a hand? All right. So three workshops, one kids camp. We've never done that before in the life of this church. Did you know that? Why would we do that, you ask? Because we're crazy, you say. Or because we're very serious and passionate about furthering the mission of Jesus Christ here in this community. And we will do that by inviting the community in, and we will do that by building up disciples. And that's exactly and precisely why we did that. So you all are invited to jump into that. We're not slowing down. We're not filling gaps. We're moving on. All right? Are you with us? Okay. We are starting a new sermon series today, The Story I'm Telling Myself. What does that mean? Well, we all tell ourselves stories, right? Some of them are, frankly, overinflated views of ourselves, right? To make us prideful. But some of these stories we tell ourselves are diminishing and make us feel maybe a little worthless at times. But what about the story Jesus has of our lives? What if he could rewrite that script? So we're going to spend some time over the next few weeks looking at stories where Jesus encountered someone, saw them for what they were, their limitations, but rewrote their story. So it's not the story that they were telling themselves, but a rewrite of that story. Today, we're going to start in John 9 and look at a man born blind. Jesus encountered him. Literally and figuratively, the man could not see how Jesus could use him. And so let's open up John 9. I'm going to ask Brianna Wiegen to come up and read the scripture for us. John 9.
Do this without hitting you. John 9, we'll start at verses 1 through 7. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. I'm going to go down to verse 24 and 25. It says, "A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. 'Give glory to God by telling the truth,' they said. 'We know this man is a sinner.' He replied, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see.'"
Amen. Thank you, Brianna. Are you blind? Could you not see that? You must be blind as a bat. Anybody ever told you that? Of course they have. Maybe even today on the way to church, right? Didn't you see that? Why didn't you stop? Yeah, well, the point is, though, that for millions of people that are, whose vision's really impaired, may not be such a funny story, right? In fact, that may be the story of all of us, because from the time we're born to the time we pass on, our eyesight kind of fades, right? It does that. Well, I really can't relate to blindness, and I'll admit that. I have an experience that was kind of close to that, and maybe you have some experiences too. But we used to take family vacations. Back when I was a kid, Dad would drive us all over the countryside. And he had a geology degree, so he wanted to see some geology, right? We did cave tours, caves and caverns. Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, anybody ever been there? No, no. Mammoth Cave, anybody ever been there back in Kentucky? Yeah, okay, two out of two. How about some of the local caves and caverns around here? Anybody seen those? A few of them. All right, not too many bats in the audience, but we're good. So you take the cave tours, and I don't think we've hit every one, but we've hit most of them. And those of you who have taken the cave tour, cave or cavern, whatever you want to call it. So you walk through, and they walk you down the bowels of this cave, right? And so what do? They turn off the lights, one by one. And it's totally, totally dark. Totally dark. Cannot see a thing. Total absence of light. That's about my only experience with the absence of light. Many of you might have other experiences as well. A far cry from blindness. Gives you a glimpse, though. Let's go back to our story. Let's go back to verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Two things about that, because the verse kind of screams at me. Steve mentioned kind of a bad day at work this last week. Well, Jesus had a bad day at the office, too. And his office was on the road. He was always traveling, right? And the day before, and actually leading up to that day, really bad experiences. People were trying to kill him. He declared who he was, the Son of God, and they weren't buying it. And he made the I am statement. Remember that when God told Moses, I am who I am? Well, Jesus made that statement. And they picked up rocks and stones to kill him. So that's kind of the day he had at his office, right? Not a good day. So he's going along. But even through that, he sees a blind man. Man blind from birth. Point I want to make is Jesus sees us. He sees you. He sees you whatever situation you're in. He sees your limitation, and we all have them, some degree or another, but Jesus sees us. He sees us in his blindness, in our blindness, but he sees the story of us yet to come because he wants to rewrite our script. Well, let's pray. Dear God, we admit we sometimes can't see the story straight. We want to see the story as you want to write, dear God. Open our eyes today, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears. As we attempt to see and hear you. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so while Jesus sees the blind man and heals him, he can see. The disciples are over there bringing up a theology question. Did you remember that, the theology question? Why is he blind? Was it because he sinned in his mother's womb? Didn't say that specifically, but that was the prevailing thought. Or was it his parents? Did they sin? We got to figure this out because it was a big deal, a big theological question of the time. Why was this man born with this infirmity or this limitation? See, they had a hang-up about that. They thought that if someone was born with some deformity or limitation, that it had to be of sin because of themselves or their parents. And what did Jesus say? How did he reply to this? Pretty much to the point. Let's go back to verse 3. He said, it was not because of sins, his sins or sins of his parents. Neither one. I'm going to debunk that theory. That's not the reason. He said this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. So Jesus totally went over the who, what, why, and where. He's going forward. He's saying, forget the fact that something happened in the past that didn't have anything to do with the man or his family. But let's look at the present and the future, because now I've rewritten this script. So that the power of God could be seen in him. Yes, we do sin. We are all guilty of sin. And yes, sin has consequences. And we know that. But many things in life are not the result of that. And Jesus was very clear about that. Just because someone is born with a limitation or develops a limitation does not mean they are in sin. We know that intellectually, right? And yet, we wonder about that as the disciples did perhaps as well. Jesus wanted to make sure that everyone understood who he was and what his purpose was. To heal the sick, to make the blind see. All right? Well, look, thank you, Brown, for reading the first part of this passage, but I've got to drag you through the rest of the story. And it's not a pretty one. All right? So I'm going to go kind of fast. I don't think we're going to put it up on screen, but here it goes. Are you ready? Verses 8 through 25. So you've heard the backdrop. Well, here's his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was. Some said it looks like him, but I'm not really sure. But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I'm the same one. I'm the one." They asked, "Well, who healed you? What happened? How were your eyes opened?" Verse 11, he told them, "The man called Jesus put mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me to go into the pool and wash. And I came back and washed, and now I can see." "Well, where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind. Could I just stop there? So the whole chapter talks about the man born blind, the blind man, the blind beggar. I'm going to give him a name. Can I do that? Can I give him a name? Joe. Is that all right? All right, Joe. So they took Joe to the Pharisees because, well, it was on the Sabbath, you see. And Jesus made mud and healed him on the Sabbath. That's a big taboo, according to the Pharisees. So the Pharisees asked the man about it. So he told them, "Well, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man, Jesus, is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath." Making mud, putting it on someone's eyes, is their mind's work. Well, others said, "Well, how could an ordinary sinner do miraculous things?" So there was a big division here among the big religious brain trust, trying to somehow come up with a conclusion that, well, this couldn't be the Messiah because he did work on, he made some mud on the sun, on the Sabbath. But in clear sight was this miracle that had just happened, that Jesus had just performed. Well, the Pharisees asked Joe, who had been blind, "Well, what's your opinion about this man who healed you?" And Joe replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man who had been blind, Joe. And they called his parents. So his parents were around. And they asked his parents, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? So how is it he can see?" And his parents replied, "Well, this is our son. And yes, he was born blind. But we don't know how he can see or who healed him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "If he's old enough, ask him. He is old enough, ask him." So for a second time, they called in Joe, who had been blind, and told him, "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man is a sinner." And one of my favorite lines and quotes in the Bible is verse 25. You read it earlier. I'm going to read it again. "I don't know whether he's a sinner," Joe said, "but this I know, I was blind, but now I see." Look, we are all born blind. Do you know that? Physically, but not just physically. We need help to see. Our blindness clouds our thinking and our perspective. It also limits our future. I want to give a shout out to Alan. I forgot this earlier. When Jesus saw the blind man that no one else was seeing, when I give a greeting to Alan, Alan Shank, I don't know if he's here or not, but I give a greeting and say, "Hey, Alan, it's good to see you," right? You know what he says back? He's probably said it to you, too. He says, "It's good to be seen." Yeah. Jesus sees you We are all born blind. It does cloud our future. Let's go back to the story and build up some of the characters here in the story. First, let's start with Jesus. All right, Jesus is healing a blind man. Not just blind man, but blind from birth. Joe could never see from the time he was born. This is a big deal. It's a big deal in the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's why they're arguing about this. The prophet Isaiah talks about one who is coming, one who is going to be a Messiah. He will come and heal the sick, and he will give sight to the blind. Well, that's a big deal. That should, right there should trigger the fact that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. The blind man, well, his occupation was begging because that's all you could do if you're in the first century and you're blind. So now he's out of a job, right? Because he can see, all right? That's a good thing. But did you know, and it doesn't record here, it doesn't say that he ever asked Jesus to heal him. Jesus did it nonetheless. Further, there's a little bit of humiliation here. I don't know if you picked up on that. Jesus spit on some mud, made some mud, and put it on his eyes. Now you may think, well, that's not a big deal. If I'm blind, you can do whatever you want to, right? But it is a bit, why did he do that? That's a bit humiliating. Now, I've read volumes of books about why that is, about clay and properties and DNA and all that stuff. It's great read, okay? The fact of the matter is, he did it. And the fact of the matter is, he told the man to go wash it off. Maybe a little bit humiliating. I think the point I want to make here is, if Jesus is trying to do a work on you, it may require some work on your part and some humiliation. It may take some sacrifice. It may take a little pain. When Jesus works on us, he's kind of trying to rewrite that script for us. It may take some of that mud to go through. It may need to wash some of it off. There is a cost, but we go ahead and allow him to rewrite our story. Well, the blind man sees for the first time in many ways, not just sight-wise. Let's go to verse 30. I'm going to read that. I think we have, we have that up there. So verse 30, this is the blind man. He's reacting to the Pharisees and the crowds and all this. And he says, "Why, that's very strange," Joe said. "He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has ever been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't have been able to do it." Amazing. Here, 10 minutes ago, was a beggar born blind, and now he's a prophet. And now he's a wise man, and he's telling the Pharisees about Jesus. Incredible. Not only can he see, God's given him vision. All right? Then we have the disciples, right? They're the guys that really didn't see the blind man. They knew he was there, but they talked around him. Remember? The discussion was, well, who sinned, him or his parents? They weren't talking to the blind man. They were talking around him, about him. All right? Then we had the Pharisees. You already know about them. But they could only see in the past. They could only see Joe as a blind beggar. They couldn't see the miracle in front of them in plain sight. I hope we're not like that sometimes. I hope we're not like that. I hope we don't stop and linger too much on the hows and whys of things sometimes. But they were stuck in that. Miracle in plain sight, they could not see because they were blind. Jesus later tells Joe, in verse 39, he says, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind." Well, then we have the parents of the blind man. They saw their son as a burden. They could not see past the limitations. They weren't even willing to defend him against the Pharisees. They were afraid of the Pharisees. They were afraid they were going to get kicked out of church. I hope we're not afraid of the prevailing thought in our times or in our culture. I hope that's not us. I don't think it is. I hope not. Maybe you could relate to the neighbors. Remember the neighbors? Some said, well, yeah, that's Joe. Yeah, I think that's who that is. Another says, I don't know. I don't think. He looks so much different. I don't think that's Joe at all. So the neighbors, there was a split between the neighbors. Now, some people will say, well, yeah, some of them were afraid of the Pharisees, so they didn't want to acknowledge Joe. Well, they weren't asked to declare who Jesus was or anything. They were just, the simple question is this your neighbor? Is this Joe or not? So I don't think they were afraid. Here's my theory, and you can buy this theory or not, but here's my theory. And that is, when people see Jesus and are changed by the Son of God, there's a transformation. Think about this. Joe couldn't see from birth, all of a sudden he sees, right? What's a blind person going to do the first time they see? They're going to look around. They're going to, wow, that's a balloon. Wow, that's what you look like. Oh, that's amazing. The tree I've been bumping into, it's incredible. I think there's such a transformation going on here that some of his neighbors can't even figure it out, right? I have a question. I think some of you have gone through that kind of a transformation. Now, we all go through a transformation when we encounter Jesus, right? But some of you, didn't something change when Jesus entered into your life? Didn't some habits change? Didn't your countenance change? Didn't your outlook on life change? Maybe friends changed. Maybe good habits began, right? You get some amens on that? Isn't that what happens when we encounter Jesus? When we let Jesus work on us, put some mud on us, open our eyes? I think that's what happened. That's my theory. I think some of the neighbors could see. And I think some of the neighbors were blind. Okay? Jesus invites you to see. That's the invitation. We need to see things as Jesus does. Not the story we've been telling ourselves necessarily. And not that the story you're telling yourself is necessarily wrong. But is the story you're telling yourself the script that Jesus wants to write for you in the future? Is your story based on your view of who you are? Is your story based on your limitations that you have? Or is it based on what Jesus sees in you? Do we see people around us? Do we see those around us as Jesus does? Do we? Who are the unseen around us? Who are those who are invisible, perhaps, in plain sight? Maybe it's some of us. Maybe some of us feel invisible. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe it's their kids. Maybe it's grandparents. Maybe it's extended family. You know what I'm talking about here. People that are different. People that were born with an infirmity, born with a limitation. Born with something that causes them to be maybe a little slow. He's a little slow. She's a little awkward. You know, when I was a kid, I was the last one to finish the test in the classroom. I was a little slow, right? Maybe you were that kid that just breezed through the test and everything. Look, there's different degrees of that. I'm not making light of this. This is a big deal, right? Many of us here in this room have some kind of disorder that's got an acronym attached to it for our kids. That's a limitation, right? And it's a big thing. It's a big deal. But do we view that the way Jesus does? Do we see it as the limitation, or do we see what Jesus can do with that? Well, I've got your attention. I want to tell you about a young lad named Wade. He's 5 years old. He's going on 6, getting ready to have his 6th birthday. He's our youngest grandson. Back in Oklahoma, we've got 4 grandkids, right? So Wade was born with a lot of cheer and just a lot of just perkiness. He loves to talk. He loves to speak. He loves to say all kinds of things. The problem is, It's not in English, and it's not in a language we can understand. He can't talk, right? Yes, he can jabber, and yes, he's been able to say some things. And ever since age 3, he's been able to ink out some words. And mom and dad's working with him, got people, experts working with him, all kinds of things. And you see breakthroughs, you know, each month there's a new word he can say. But the bottom line is, the mechanism that connects this part of the brain with this part of the mouth is just disconnected to some extent. It's going to have to take a work of God to do that. And yet, there are these bright spots that happen often. So, my last trip to Oklahoma to visit one of the birthdays of one of the 4 kids. So, I'm packing up, and I pack this toaster, all right? This is a toaster. This particular toaster is one that we won as a white elephant gift at one of our little Christmas gathering things. You all do that. Well, we happened to land this treasure of a toaster with the picture of Bob Ross on it. Okay, so we all know who Bob Ross is, right? So not only is his picture on the toaster, the toast will have an impression of Bob Ross. As much as I love that, we have a great toaster. We don't need that toaster. There's a whole other story about the. There were 3 different toasters given during that particular event. But anyway, we landed one of them. So we took this back because the kids, their toaster was busted. So they need a toaster, right? So I put it in my suitcase, and I'm going back to Oklahoma. And then I pull it out at the appropriate time and says, "Hey, here's your toaster." And one of the kids says, "Oh, look, it's got Bob Ross." They all know who Bob Ross is, right? They love it. And then 2 doors down, like 2 rooms this way in the house, I hear this sound. "Bob Ross, Bob Ross, Bob Ross." 3 times in a row, young Wade, and here he is with his toaster in hand. Same Bob Ross. Now, it wasn't as clear as I just said it, but clear enough. So you can imagine what ensued after that. That was incredible. So bright spots like that happen to remind us we're not limited. And God's still rewriting our script. For young Wade, wait and see what happens. God will rewrite his script in a way that he can understand, in a way that those around him will understand as well. I believe one day he will speak a language that people will understand. Just as I believe that he has a script for you, whatever your limitation. Bob Ross. So that the works of God might be displayed in him. That's the purpose. Let's read on. I'll get through this. Verse 35 to 38. When Jesus heard what had happened to the man, because Joe has been raked over the coals, right? The Pharisees, the neighbors, the whole bloody mess. He found the man, and he said to Joe, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Yes." "Well, who is he?" "Yeah, I want to believe in him." "Who is he?" Verse 37, "Well, you have seen him," Jesus said, "and he's speaking to you." And Joe says, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He worshiped Jesus. Here we have Jesus showing compassion. He knows when a man's been beaten down. He knows when you've been beaten down. He experienced it himself. And so Joe's beaten down. He's lost his job, right? Can't do begging work, as now you can see. His community kicked him out. His parents kind of shunned him a bit. He needs a new community, right? Jesus shows compassion in those moments. Not just showing compassion, but he healed him. Jesus also didn't just heal him. He gave him an invitation to believe and follow him, because Joe needs a new community, right? And that's our invitation too. That's our invitation when we encounter Jesus. When we see him, he's already seen us. He knows the story we've written for ourselves. He wants to rewrite that story, all right? Look, there's only one proper response. There's only one proper response. When Jesus does a work in us, when Jesus is transforming us, when we're in that process, only one proper response, and that's worship. And that's what Joe did. He worshiped Jesus at that point. And that's what we must do. That's our response. We do it in whatever way we can. Yes, we sing here in worship Sunday mornings, but worship is a way of life and it carries out throughout the week. Give time to worship God in whatever way you can. Whether you sing, whether you hum, you know, whether you whistle, you know, whether you do this, whether you do that, whether your posture is this or that. It doesn't really matter. Give glory to God, worship him for what he has done. Joe also needed a new community, and so do we. When we encounter Jesus, Jesus does a work in us, and in that transformation, we need to probably leave behind the old community if they haven't left us already and join a new community. That means fellowship in church, but that also means throughout the week, because life is lived throughout the week. Throughout the week, having fellowship, being around people who encourage you, who pray for you, who love you. We call that a life group here at Covenant Grove. So if you're not a part of that kind of community, I need you to think and pray about joining a life group. Our sign-ups start next week. We're going to start kicking off our fall season. Look forward to seeing you and your name on a life group. All right? Well, one other thing, proper response. Because God has given us, what, his word? He's given us his spirit. So what else do we need? We've got church. We've got life group. Well, how about some individual direction? There are times in our life when we need some individual direction. We need some help. We need someone who's been down that road, who sees, who has vision, who can help us. And so we call that mentorship. You can call it coaching. Call it whatever you want to. But we provide mentoring here at Covenant Grove. If you're interested in that, please put that on your contact card or let one of us know who are on the pastoral staff. Life was not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be alone. So we need a community, and we need sometimes we need individuals to help us see that vision, see beyond what we can currently see. I'm going to give you a quote and end on that. A quote from Helen Keller. Helen Keller is a well-known, renowned author, activist, and poet. She was not born blind, but she became blind when she was 19 months old. And here's what she says. The only thing worse than being blind is to have no vision. Jesus offers both sight and vision. Because sometimes and often, we can't see how God will use us. Well, let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you do see us. Thank you that however invisible we feel, you see us and are with us. And God, we acknowledge that. And we lift our lives up to you. God, the invitation today, I think, for each of us, open our eyes so that we may see what works you will do in us. In congregation, I have a couple of questions for you, just in this time, just as we're in prayer. Do you want to continue on with the story that you're telling yourself? Are you willing to let Jesus work on you and give you a new script? Are you willing to to do that? Are you willing to say yes to Jesus to do that? Maybe it's your first time at this. Maybe you just need to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to follow you and trust in you. Maybe that's the yes you need to say. How about for the rest of us? Do we want to see others around us as Jesus does? Is that a yes? My ask for you right now. If there's a card in front of you. There's a card in the chair in front of you that says, I said yes to God. In whatever way you want to do this, if you could fill it out, say, yeah, I said yes. And let us know so we can get with you and follow up with you and actually walk with you through this. God, there's some decisions here that are being made and some yet to be made. But God, we are all born blind. You open our eyes so that we can see. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.